Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, good morning.
Bright and early. So Courtney and Lisa are here today.
Yes.
Mallory is sick, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we miss her, but
I don't want her germs.
I think we can do this.
No. Yeah. We've been chatting.
How was prom?
Oh, prom? Well, for me, it was great.
Oh my goodness,
yesterday was wild. Liv and Avery went. And I stopped by Valerie's yesterday to drop off some stuff because I know a bunch of girls were getting ready at her house.
Mm-hmm.
My house is in boxes and shambles right now. So I know they did like a potluck dinner at someone else's house.
Okay.
And Livy and Tristan came over and made potluck stuff.
Oh, and, fun.
Because I've packed my kitchen. Like, I have boxes labeled food.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So she's trying to make lemon bars. And she's like, we have no flour. And I'm like, I have a huge thing of flour.
Yeah.
But I packed it.
Yeah.
And I left out a bag of gluten-free flour because I never use it. And I'm like, we'll just toss this, you know, if we actually need to use flour because I don't bake a lot.
Yeah.
Livia does, apparently. Yeah. And so she is like, I'm not using gluten-free flour, Mom. I'm like, that's not going to happen. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I'm not unpacking.
Do you tell her you can appeal to more people if you have gluten-free lemon bars.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. Like, the one time I used it, I thought whatever it was that I made turned out terrible. I made cornbread.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, normally cornbreads, I don't know, I'm holding my fingers out.
Yeah, it's like two and a half, three inches
tall. It was like 1 inch thick.
Uh-huh.
It was super flat. And I thought it was terrible, but the people that I've made it for that are into gluten-free stuff, like, they loved it. So
okay.
I'm like, okay, you guys liked it, but I thought it was terrible.
As far as gluten-free goes, they were very good cornbread.
I guess, but I was not into that. I like my gluten, I guess. So Livia had to go to the store just to buy flour, just so she could make. And so it's like, oh, it's just rough. So that was that. And then she went over to a friend's house and they all got ready together.
Mm-hmm.
I was so grateful that there's people that know how to do hair.
Yeah.
Because you've only ever seen me in a ponytail or down. That's the extent of what I can do. But the one skill that I do have is boob taping.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's good.
Well, I mean, I tape all sorts of body parts up when you get injured.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so boob taping is like,
it's easy. Yeah.
It's just next step, next level. Right.
So you did a lot of boob taping last night. Cause they do probably have all those dresses that are very, spaghetti straps.
Livia's were like
strapless,
super thin, like barely could even see the straps. Mm-hmm. And a lot of girls were that way.
Yeah.
And so Livia's the only one that was like, come on in, Mom. She put the little pasty things on and then let me go for it. And I mean,
I love that.
It looked amazing. And then I just coached the rest of the girls. I'm like, okay. So start here. You're going to bend over and then you're going to pull about that long and then you're going to place the tape. Like, I talked them through it and how you build the tape to get like that.
Yeah.
Lift.
Yes.
I guess. So, yeah.
Why? You know, isn't that interesting that that's that? Well, I guess teenagers are very,
I would have died if I had my mom taping my boobs. I would have died too.
But
anyone else, like, I just would have been mortified.
Where does that start? Because, you know, when you're a little girl or a little or younger person, you're not as self-conscious about your body and being naked. And then as you get older, you have these.
It's so different for everyone. Because like another friend, I don't know if you know what, Noelle, but she was raised not in a nudist colony per se, but pretty much. Yeah. Like parents took them to like nude hot springs and said, hey, you should be comfortable with what the human body is like.
Yeah. I love that. I think that.
Ashamed of it and not sexualize it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, her parents' belief was like, the more nudity you're around, the less likely you are to be like a rapey or I don't even like the word, or like predatorial. Like,
yeah.
Cause it's just normal. Mm-hmm. Like you're normalizing bodies because they actually just are normal. And I'm like, that's just the complete opposite of how I was raised.
Well, you and I were, we were raised in similar, like in a
very prude.
Yeah. Prudish. Yes. Where people are covering every body part, even when they swim.
Right. Oh my gosh. But so I was very conscientious of trying to not make her feel like ashamed about her body like your body is like awesome. It's like, you're strong. You can do things with it.
Yeah.
Like be proud of it no matter how it ends up being.
Yeah.
I remember when I very first started getting boobs.
Yeah.
Like my little sister, you know how tender your boobs are?
Yeah.
She would like just punch me right in the boob.
Oh.
Like she knew it hurt. And I'd be like, oh.
Yes, leave it to a sister.
Oh my gosh. And then my mom, well, payback to her. Like I got huge boobs. She didn't so much. My mom would come around the corner and she would put her finger in her shirt. And she'd stick it out like the little, like I was nipping out, but barely. And she'd be like, mosquito bites. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was so embarrassed. I was so mortified. I didn't even want her to come with me to buy bras because I was like, it was very shameful. Like I felt ashamed of getting boobs. And before that, I was so jealous of Andrea Norton in third grade with her 32 C cup boobs.
Third grade?
Yes. Oh. I was jealous. I think I've mentioned this before. And I would go to bed at night. And this was my prayer. Please, please, God, give me boobs like Andrea Norton. I'll do anything. I will eat my broccoli. I will be nice.
Well, when we were young, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret was very popular. Oh. And so I think my friends and I started doing that. We must increase our bust. And you just kind of move your arms back and forth. In hopes that for me, it did. I don't know about the rest of my friends.
I mean, as far as I know, my proof that God exists is simply that I prayed for boots every night.
Well, and also, and now I go, I could have less boobs because they're just a pain in the ass. You know, you go running. You've got to put like multiple jog bras on. You sleep. And then as you get older, they stretch. So when you sleep, it gets caught under your armpit.
What is that doing there?
Like, I think I will just wear a jog bra for the rest of my life.
You have to roll them up.
Yes. Them in your bra. Tuck them into your pants.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So the evolution of boobs. You know. But that was like, that was my specialty yesterday was boob taping. And everyone had amazing looking racks.
Good. So, I think that's like so great.
12, 13, 14 girls. I don't know. They were so
standing
many.
In line. Okay. Help me
and
tape my boobs.
And we go for pictures. So I don't even know who hosted the pictures, but there must have been 50 to 60 kids at that house.
I think that's
their parents.
Yeah. It's fun.
I was like, I feel like I'm at a wedding right now.
The thing about that, I mean, I think it's so great and it's so much fun for everybody.
It was fun.
I've felt overwhelmed at those things because I want to take pictures of the kids.
Right.
But then there's so many parents that you're talking to that you're kind of, I feel like I'm missing out. Like I'm talking to a parent and I'm like, oh, hold on. I got to go capture this moment. So, I
just was all about those kiddos. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll talk to you later. Cause I'm like, this is kind of I mean, I guess graduation is next week.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, like, this is the last time I'm going to see all these kids that grow up.
Yeah.
And it was just really fun to see all these cute.
Yeah. Well, I felt that way with Owen last year, both with homecoming and prom.
Mm-hmm.
I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed as a parent. I don't think he was necessarily overwhelmed. He was having a good old time.
Oh, yeah. They don't.
But I was overwhelmed with how many people were there and trying to capture the moments and. But it's so fun for them. I love it when they have like get together like that with so many people.
It was pretty fun. I was just like, holy.
Was it on the lake or was it in the?
No, it was views of the lake. So it was, I actually think I liked it better because you could still see the lake, the full spread of the lake behind. And it's just a gorgeous view.
Yeah.
And they had this little stand set up like a pretty little archway with clothy stuff. is taffeta a thing?
Taffeta? Sure.
And I just think that it sounds like candy.
No, taffeta. It's like a
skirt for ballerinas. Is that what it is? Like
that's tulle.
Ah, shoot.
Tulle. Taffeta is more like a it's sort of silky, but it's strong.
It's structural.
It's not as flowy.
Maybe it has
silky look.
They decorated an archway so like couples could stand and get pictures. Like whoever hosted, thank you. They did a fantastic job. They even had their dogs dressed up in tuxedos.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so freaky.
Were the dogs handing out drinks? Did they have like a platter on their back? Just walking around the party. Oh, look.
Horrible.
I'd like a drink of that. Thanks, Rover.
One was like a golden retriever. Uh-huh. So he just looks so just regal. I mean, they were so cute. So the dogs were adorable. The kids were just.
I appreciate really parents happy. Who host that. Those. Yeah. I mean, because it's really not a lot of work, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if they're going
they
to the
to
trouble to do all that.
Super ready.
Yeah.
Like it was
pristine. Dialed in.
Yeah, they had this shit handled. It was nice. So that was fun.
Last prom, it was warm when Owen went to prom last year. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad because he was, in a tuxedo and he was sweating so profusely. I'm taking pictures. Oh, and I see, when I look back at the pictures, he's just
all
has
flushed.
Gleaming. He's just sweat. And of course he has to have that stupid mustache he's got,
right.
And he's just sweating and his mustache
it's
is all slick.
Off.
Yes.
That's such a good look.
Why? I hate the mustache.
I don't know why anyone ever thinks that's a good idea.
I mean, Glenn Powell has a mustache in my favorite movie he's in.
What movie?
Everyone's Got Some. That's where I fell in love with him.
Okay. I haven't. I've only ever seen him in Anyone But You.
He has got a great mustache.
Really?
So that
like
mustache.
He can look good in a mustache?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
I am
Magnum P.I.
Yeah. Magnum P.I. looks
That's
great.
He's
yeah, he's good. He's
is that
good,
Tom
good.
Selleck? Is that the real person? The real person. He's a real person.
Yeah, he looks great in a mustache.
Yeah, that's
There's
it.
Some people that can pull off mustaches.
So growing up, my dad always had a mustache. Always. And then, when I got married, I was like, hey, Dad, it'd be kind of cool if you, just try shaving off the stash.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, not going to happen. Same thing, my other sister. I think we all begged him to. And then my little sister, who she's just... You love her. Like, she's just such a level human. He shaved the mustache off for my little sister. And it took, probably 15, 20 years off of his face.
Oh, really?
I mean, he looked good.
Do you,
just getting rid of that mustache.
And I think it's interesting what a change in a face, like a mustache or beard makes
Yeah.
for someone.
Yeah. It's shocking.
Like he could have ever even, you could have said, oh, no, put the mustache back on. Because that looks weird. You look weird without a mustache. So has he kept the mustache off?
He's kept the mustache off ever since. And he looks good. I know. Isn't that crazy? And I know like Brad lately has been doing like the 5 o'clock shadow look.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he looks good. I like that. You like it? I don't like the feel. It hurts to kiss.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's like my memory of like our first kiss was like, oh, scruffy.
Ooh, you come, because you know, at that time, that's all you're all doing is just kissing for hours. And then the next day,
you're on your face. It's rough. Rough for us girls. Oh, well, what are we talking about today?
I think about a boy. Is that
are we start with about a boy? Okay. Yeah, let's do about a boy. Yeah. So I chose this one. Am I hosting it?
Yeah.
I'll host it. Yeah. Okay. So that just means that I tried to tell you guys what the storyline is. The best I can. I was really excited about this one because it's written by a man, Nick Hornby. And the entire book is from the perspective of actually not one man, but two.
Yeah.
So a young man and a man. And so I love the perspective that it brought. So Nick Hornby, and this movie was not a movie. I'm saying movie because it was made into a movie. It was a book. It was published in 1998, but by 2002, Hugh Grant was starring in About a Boy.
Did you watch the movie?
I never saw the movie.
I saw it years ago.
Oh, yeah. Would have been forever ago. But then get this. 2014, they made a TV series based on this as well, which I also haven't seen.
Yeah.
But I've always been curious about it. And I've always wanted to read, like, since we're into this romance thing. And we've read some books where women are trying to write the perspective of a man. And I'm like, I just am not buying this perspective very well. Like, I was really having a hard time. I'm like, I want to read a romance novel from the perspective of a man written by a man. And here you have it.
Yeah.
There's more. This is not the only one, but they're rare. A lot of women write romance novels with a male pen name. And when you get down to it, it's like, oh, that's a woman trying to pretend to be a man and doing a terrible job of it.
I wonder why. Does it make it seem for a woman? I mean, I can't imagine this. Well, here we are deciding on reading a book because it's
right.
but our purpose is completely different.
I think. Okay. Do you remember Mel Gibson and that movie, What Women Want?
Yeah.
So I think it's like this psychological thing. Like we're just trying to understand the opposite gender because we're so freaking different.
Okay. Yeah.
That I'm like, okay, I want to see what a man's perspective is like. And I think that that's why women are seeking that out because we also want to know what men want.
Yeah.
So that's just, I'm curious.
I think that is an interesting perspective. Yeah. I think that is.
And I was blown away by Nick's writing. I thought he did a phenomenal job. So.
I did too.
Let's get into it. Okay. And I want to just point one more freaking awesome thing out about it. I don't know how you feel about Nirvana. Were you into Nirvana in the 90s?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind
of? I mean, I wasn't as dedicated as some of the young people in this book are. But I did like Nirvana. Yeah.
So, yes. And they touch base on Nirvana throughout this book.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where I got this little fact. But the title of the book, About a Boy, the title is based on a song by Nirvana.
Oh.
And now I'm like, I need to go listen to that song. I'm going to go back and have to listen to it. So anyway, fun fact.
Yeah.
Go listen to About a Boy by Nirvana. I don't know if that's the title of the song. I think it might be. Anyway, but Nirvana definitely plays a big role in this book.
Yes.
So the book starts off, just a little background. We've got Will. He's a 36-year-old man-child. That's how I wrote it. He's a man-child.
He is. He's got lots of growing to do.
Lots of growing. And then we've got Marcus, who is actually a child.
But trying acts like to an adult. He's like a little adult a in a lot of ways. Man. Yes.
Exactly. So they kind of complement each other, and they are such a huge part of each other's growth. And that's why I think I love this book, is because you actually get to see character growth.
Yeah.
And he does a great job.
Yeah. I said this was a it's a romance novel between these two man, child, man, the characters. Man, child, child, man. It's a romance between these two, and it's very sweet.
It's so sweet. And then, London, England, that's where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved just loads of this and my trainers and just like all the verbiage. And I was like, that's so fun.
Going out for a nip.
So many fun little different ways of saying things.
Yes, I liked it too.
So it was super enjoyable that way. Will is a trust fund baby. That's what I call him. I don't know that Nick Hornby says he's a trust fund baby, but like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The trust fund babies, which in my mind, I hate them and I want to be them.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are some trust fund babies who try to pretend they don't. I mean, I think he kind of does maybe, but it's like, I don't need my mom's money or my parents' money. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to get a job.
Right.
And then
that's just there. Sometimes nice if I need it.
Sometimes you wonder how people live like they live. You're like, and you're a you're a coffee barista and you've got a
It is that's
why. But Nick, on the other hand, is I mean not Nick, Will.
Yeah.
He is He doesn't have a job.
Form of a trust fund baby that there ever could be. He literally one day bleeds into the next, bleeds into the next. They're all redundant. There's no change. He's just living life because he can and immersing himself in like pop culture. He goes, I can't remember. At one point he like spells it out. I wake up. Go for a walk. I go get coffee and then
goes to the record store. He's like,
and then I go to the record store and then I go watch a movie. Then I come home. Then I watch this game show. I go shop a little bit. Yeah. Like same thing day after day after day.
And he has never worked in his life.
Never had a job.
Never had. And then you realize he's never had really a lot of true connections with other humans.
No.
He's very flat.
And that's why he just never grew up. So I do have to say, like, this reminded me just thinking about, like, the trust fund people in this world.
Yeah.
Because we work hard. Yes. I'm like, it would be nice to just, like, just take a month off and not stress.
And right? Maybe have just a little there in case, you know, things are tight. You just can,
but
you know.
But then you see these people. And so Livia works at the gym, right? She works... And she watches people's children while they go exercise and, you know, perfect sculpt themselves or whatever. And she came home from work one day and she said, she's like, oh my God, I am so jealous of all those MILF moms. She's like, she tells me stories about like these cute, adorable kids and their moms, and they drop them off and they're like dressed in like perfectly coordinated outfits and their hair is done to go work out. And I'm like, what is wrong with
and
these
And then they
people?
Can go to coffee afterwards and maybe they'll go. Like,
to me, I'm thinking she's describing like a trust fund person.
Yes.
But she's calling them MILFs. And I'm just like, hold on. What's a MILF?
Yeah. And what do you believe is a MILF?
Right. Well, I wanted to make her squirm a little bit.
Yeah.
I totally know what a MILF is.
Yeah.
I invented the word. No, I didn't. But like, I wanted to hear what her like idea of what a MILF is.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't know?
Oh.
And Corbin is like, yeah, he was doing his own thing. And he comes over, he's like interested.
He's like, yes. He's suddenly like, what is a MILF? Does he know?
Oh, he knows what a MILF is. Are you kidding me? So the conversation, like, I'm like, what? So is a MILF like someone that just doesn't, I'm describing a trust fund person. Yeah. Like somebody that just doesn't have to work and they can go spend their time just like perfecting themselves all day, like looking really good. And she's like, I mean, yeah, I guess they kind of do. That's like kind of what they do. And I'm like, well, that's cool. So like, they just don't have jobs. And she's like, no, that's not what it means. And I'm like, oh. She's like they're moms. That's part of it. And maybe some of them work and some of them don't. Like, and then she named this girl that I work with, Brittany. She's like Brittany that you work with, like she's a MILF. And I'm like, oh, okay, Brittany. Like, so she works really hard. Mm-hmm. What makes her a MILF? And she's like, well, I mean, she's like really pretty. And I'm like, yeah, she is really pretty. So I'm like, so a MILF can like work or not, but they just have to be really pretty. So why don't you just say like, I'm jealous of pretty people. She's like, no, it's not that. And then Corbin is like, do you remember when Dad came home from work that one day and he was like all excited because so there was someone that was coming to pick up their medications and the daughter was with the mom and she was whispering to her mom. She's like, oh my gosh, Mom, that guy's a total dilf. Oh. So excited that he overheard that.
Yeah, he's like,
he's like, yeah, yeah. Like that kid thinks I'm hot. And I'm just like, well, yeah, you are. Like, yeah. But Corbin's like, it's like that. And I'm like, okay, so what is a DILF? And finally the kids, they're like, they're so exasperated with me. Corbin's like, well, like sometimes I bring kids over so they can be like, oh yeah, your mom's a MILF. And I'm like, what are you doing? Your kids are so weird. I'm like, I still don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And then Livia like pulls me in and she like whispers into my ear. It means Mom, I want to fuck. And she like couldn't get herself to say it. And I'm like, oh.
Did you let her know that you had known or did you just play along?
I just totally played it off the whole time. But it was so funny because they were so squeamish and so uncomfortable. But I was like trying to play it off like this is a trust fund person. Mm-hmm. Like, because like if I had nothing to do and all this money at my disposal, I still don't think that I could do the same old thing day after day. Will does. I would go crazy, but I see people that do, and their world revolves around like looking good and going out with friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I mean,
I don't even know if Will travels.
I don't think he travels.
I don't think he does anything really.
He doesn't. He has very his little flat.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so this is Will. Very flat character. I wrote the name of the song because I'm like, is that a song? Or I think Santa's Sleigh is the name of the song his dad wrote. And Will explains that like Elvis has sung it and like all these artists for every single Christmas album, because every artist feels like they have to have their own Christmas album, at some point if you get to that level. Yeah. And so he gets all these royalties from his dad, who is now deceased, for this awful Christmas song that his dad wrote that he's incredibly embarrassed by. So he's just got money rolling in. He has friends, but his friends are normal people. They work, they have kids.
And even in the beginning of this book, he's two of his friends ask him to be this godfather to their child.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, doesn't know that response. And I think that he loses those friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause like he can't even do that. Will is kind of just so into himself, that mm-hmm. he can't care or think about anyone else or yeah. their needs. And his friends kind of point out like, wow, I'm really sad. You're really missing out on life.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. not having like a relationship that's yeah. meaningful,
yeah.
you know? And I think Will, like, that's the first spark that he's like, oh, I didn't realize I was missing out on anything. I yeah. thought I had a great life.
Yeah.
Because we all think that that sounds like a great life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's a great life. I don't know.
I think in comparison to Marcus is very colorful.
Yes.
Young man. He's, you know, when they describe the sweaters his mom buys him to wear. And his yeah. haircuts and...
The lack of haircuts
yes.
or the mom haircuts.
Yep. Makes him kind of an unusual child. And he sings.
He's very well-rounded.
Yeah.
And he sings. And kids are like, what on earth?
And I think his mom is very colorful too. That's kind of why he sort of has these interesting characteristics.
And I think that when you're a single mom raising a child by yourself, I think that your relationship is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you are so close with your child. Mm-hmm. Like you rely on them for a lot of emotional support
yeah.
in a way that's maybe healthy, but might not be at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that they're so intertwined. Like the mom is a music therapist
mm-hmm.
and she sings with her eyes closed, which to Will is just shocking and yeah. brazen.
Yes.
Like he can't believe someone would do that. But they are just unapologetic people. They're confident in who they are, or at least the mom seems to be. You think on the surface.
Well, and she is. I feel like there's a lot of pressure for Marcus to be. He's a young boy and shouldn't have to have the weight of his mother's
problems,
which he does bear. He is carrying that and is concerned from her and. Right. You know,
which is why Marcus is a child man.
Yeah. Yes.
And because of that circumstance. And I think Nick Hornby does like a great job of like putting these characters in perfect circumstances yeah. for growth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Or, I mean, I don't even know if Marcus has to grow at all. He's already
He is experiencing a lot of things that emotionally that people don't. Well, Will has never experienced.
Never. Yeah. So Will, I love. So the story kicks off with Will decide he dates a woman and she's a single mother and she's beautiful and their sex is great. But then she decides that she wants just a night alone to herself. She needs some space. Because she actually doesn't need a third child to raise, being Will. And so she breaks up with him. And Will kind of looks at this experience as like, wow, I don't have to invest in a child, but I can still have a child tear-free raising children and still have great sex.
Yeah. And I think that there was that sparked an emotion in him, mm-hmm. like that experience with this woman and her child.
Yeah.
It was like, it kind of created this little emotion in him that he kind of liked.
Well, he's like, I can have a fulfilling life without mm-hmm. having any ties, like mm-hmm. responsibility. Like I can have both ways.
Yeah.
So this is like the steps towards growth, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
But the way he goes about doing it, which I think is hilarious, is he joins a single parent group and he makes up. That he has a child named, is it Ned?
I wrote it down somewhere. I think so.
He pretends like he has a 2-year-old son named Ned. My first thought when I'm like, a single parent support group, like single parents don't have time for support groups. Like that's not a thing. I don't know if that really exists. Maybe it exists.
I can see how it might help. Some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
So in this book, it exists.
Yes.
Anyway. And people have time to get together. And I'm like, what are they doing with their 2-year-old children? Like during the support group.
Yeah.
While they're,
Maybe their spouses have them. or their ex-spouses.
If they have that.
Yeah, like, they have that. Well, maybe that's why Fiona doesn't go. Because Fiona, Marcus's mother,
mm-hmm.
her best friend, Susie,
yeah, Susie goes to this. Group. And Susie has an older child, right?
No, I think Susie has a very young child.
Oh, very young child. Yeah. And then, so
a baby, like kind of a baby-ish child.
Oh, that's right. Because they're, okay. So a huge moment in this book is, so Will is trying to date Susie.
Yeah.
So they're at the park, they're playing with, and Marcus has come along for some reason. Why did Marcus go with them?
Because Fiona needs some space. So she says, Marcus, you're going with Susie to the park.
Susie's on this date with Will and her baby. Yes. So here they are at the park. And Marcus accidentally...
He throws a sandwich or a piece of bread at this duck, yeah. and it hits it in the head and it dies.
Was it really a piece of bread that killed the duck?
Yeah. Well, Marcus keeps saying he felt like it was probably dying anyway. He's like, there was something wrong with it because there's no way that could have killed the duck.
Right. And Will totally covers for him when some guy comes and yells at the kid.
Yeah, like the park. I think he's like the park manager or something, or the wildlife park person.
So Will is like, wow, I have never been stood up for in my life. Mm-hmm. Or no, Marcus, sorry.
And Will does it so seamlessly. He just kind of swoops in. And Will is a very charismatic human. So, mm-hmm. you know, he kind of charms this guy and they just, you know, then walk away. Well. Yes.
And Marcus is like, I'm going to go to jail.
Yeah.
Get in so much trouble.
I think Marcus is a little taken by this attitude and this guy and how he could enamored. Just, yeah.
Yeah. So he's in love. He's but he's never had that in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But then tragedy strikes and they're called off to the hospital because
they go, Susie takes them home.
Yeah.
And they walk into the apartment. Well, Susie's actually gets worried because Marcus says something to her about, says something to Susie about his mom feeling sad or something, but something, triggers Susie. Mm-hmm. She feels like she's got to go check on them. So they all walk Marcus up into the apartment and Fiona
she's overdosed.
She's overdosed. There's throw ups everywhere. And Will is enjoying the whole, not enjoying, but
he's fascinated.
It's emotions. He's never had these things before. Mm-hmm. He feels like he's can swoop in once again and help the situation, help these people, you know, take her to the hospital. Yes. And then he's there and he's helping everyone out.
Right. He has a project. He has meaning for the first time in his life.
And it feels good.
It feels good. And he looks at Marcus. It's like, I can do something to help someone out.
Mm-hmm.
This poor child who's going through a really rough thing, which I mean, what a cool project to take on for all the right reasons, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But don't you think, he's in for a little while and then he loses interest. But mm-hmm. by then, Marcus has been following Will.
I know.
He knows where he lives. And then one day he just shows up.
He's like, here I am and you're my new friend.
Yes.
So the sweetest thing ever, I think, is Will realizes, like, Marcus is just very, like, upfront, like, yeah, this is me, this is my life, like, it sucks. I get picked on by kids at school.
Yeah.
And I think Will is like, what? That's a thing? I had no idea that happened to people. And he's like, well, I can help you out.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So he goes... And he's like, well, first of all, you can't let your mom keep cutting your hair.
Yeah. And those shoes.
Oh my gosh. So I grew up with my mom cutting my hair my whole life. And I will never forget the first time. I think I was 18 when I finally got my hair cut by like someone that was professional. And someone took me under their wings. at work and was like, no, you need to get your hair cut by like a real person.
You know what? That happened. My mom cut my hair.
Did she cut your hair too?
She cut my hair and she gave me perms.
Oh yeah. My mom gave me a perm too.
I mean, I don't think my mom did a bad job on my hair. I mean, it seemed to be fine, but there was a point where I'm like, yeah, like I'm in high school, maybe I want, or junior high-ish, high school-ish, where I was like, maybe I want, you know, a real haircut.
Right.
A fashionable haircut.
Right. I remember being like, oh my gosh, their hair looks so good. And it's because they get it cut by somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yes. Well, one time I was going into seventh grade and my mom was out of town and I was staying with my grandma. Now, my grandmother had an afro. Like she wore her hair in the tightest curl.
Yeah.
And it was like a helmet. Like she had an afro. Yes. So she says, I would really, it was like 80s, like the new bob was in. I was like, I really want a bob. Mm-hmm. And I was coming from kind of a mullet era too.
The rat tails.
I want
mullets and rat tails.
No, it was more of like the feathered short on kind of the top and sides to like. It was more of a feathered mullet look.
Yes.
That was kind of popular. Or feathered hair. Feathered hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted a bob. It's like, I just want a bob.
Uh-huh.
And so bad. And my grandma's like, my hairstylist, because she would go every week to her hairstylist. Mm-hmm.
Get her hair set.
Mm-hmm. She's like, my hairstylist will do a great job. I promise. She knows all the latest. I go, okay.
Okay.
So she gave me the worst feathered mullet ever. I'm like, that is no bob. I even have it documented in my school picture, this haircut. I'm like, that is not what I wanted.
Oh, no.
And here I am going into seventh grade. I want to make an impression. Oh, yeah, and I'm really walking in with this.
Your first day of seventh grade with like
dumb the world's mullet, first mullet, feathered mullet.
Oh, so bad.
So most people have had these moments.
The trauma of the mother haircut or just a really bad haircut. But Will's like, we're having none of this. I'm taking you to get your haircut.
Yeah.
And then I think the thing that sets off a lot of change for Marcus is that he takes him to get a pair of, what does he call them? Trainers.
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 Adidas.
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 Adidas trainers.
I don't know how it's said. But Adidas.
Yes.
That's the American way.
Yeah. Adidas.
Trainers. Which in the 90s, I remember I had to have my pair of Adidas track pants, the kind with the buttons up the side and the three stripes that went all the way up that you could just go and you could tear them right off
and start running.
So cool. Yes, because that was a big deal. And so for the first time ever, like Marcus kind of looks cool at school and the kids can't handle it and they steal his trainers.
Yeah. So sad he shows up at Will's house in his socks that are soaking wet because.
And doesn't he get in trouble for it?
Why
does he go to the principal's office?
I feel like his mom finds out and maybe
takes it up with the principal.
Yeah.
And while he's out there waiting, he meets this girl. I think her name is Ellie.
Is it Ellie? I can't remember.
I took notes. Ellie. I swear I did.
I did too.
I think it was Ellie. Yeah. I'm pretty darn sure. That's what I'm sticking with it. And if that's not right, oops. So she's sitting outside the principal's office because she's the girl that gets in trouble all the time.
Yes.
Why does she get in trouble?
She's badass.
She's badass. I think she smokes in the girl's bathroom. Yeah. She dyes her hair all sorts of crazy colors. And she wears a Nirvana hoodie sweatshirt with Kurt Cobain when they're supposed to be wearing like school uniform type things.
And Will, this is one thing Will has learned from, or Marcus has learned from Will.
Uh-huh.
about Nirvana, and he can actually have a conversation with Ellie about her, Kurt Cobain.
Because Will knows stuff.
Yes.
And so they kind of hit it off a little bit. And so he, you know, Marcus has this interest in this girl, and she's 15.
Yeah.
Which is like when you're 12 and you've got a 15-year-old that you're talking to, like, that's a big deal.
Yes.
Like, you're automatically so cool. And I, like, probably my favorite part of this whole entire book was a conversation after he meets Ellie and Marcus is, like, really just into her. Will and Marcus have a conversation about, like, he's like, I think I want her to be my girlfriend. And Will is like, what makes you think that? He's like, well, I don't know. What's the difference? Like, how do you know? And Will's like, well, do you want to touch her? Like, and he's like, what do you mean touch her? Like, he doesn't say anything. He's like, well, say something. Do you want to touch her? He's like, I'm thinking about it. Like, that's so weird, that concept. And Will's like, he's like, isn't there more to it, Will? And he's like, no, that's pretty much it. That's the difference between a friend and a girlfriend. Do you want to touch her or not? You know? And Marcus is like, no, there's like other things. Like I want to spend all my time with her. And I'm really jealous of her friend Zoe. And I want her to go away just so that I can have her all to myself. And I don't want any of the other boys to look at her. And when I find out something really cool, she's the first one I want to tell about it. And I'm like, that's kind of the sweetest thing, because that's kind of what, like, he gets it. Yeah. Marcus gets what it means to, like, really care and love a person. And Will is still like, do you want to touch her?
Yeah.
Like, you know about sex, right? He's like, yeah, I know about sex. But,
well, anyway, it's
adorable. That's my favorite part of the whole book.
I love it, too. And I think that he's, you know, it shows also how innocent and still young Marcus is.
Yes. And he's like, well, Marcus, you won't feel that way forever. Trust me. It's like, but I think I love that, yes, they can both be right at the same time.
Yeah.
But I think that in this situation, Marcus is kind of a little bit more mature about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, because there's more to relationships
than just
touching someone.
Sex, yes. Exactly. And, like, Will was, like, too afraid to say sex at first, but he's like, he is obviously not getting it.
Yeah.
That's what there is. That's it. That's all that a relationship is about.
And that is what fuels Will.
Yeah.
In a lot of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Until
all of his relationships to that point have been about sex.
But Will meets somebody who
is it Rachel?
Rachel. And wow.
Rachel has a 12-year-old boy named, I think, is it Ollie?
Ollie, yeah.
Ollie. And this kills me because Will is still playing the single parent card, even with Rachel.
Yes, he's still lying.
He's still lying.
Because he's like, they're at some function and he meets her and he wants to get her attention. And I think he hears that she has a son or something. And he's like, oh, I have a son too. And then they start talking about their teenage boys.
Yes.
They have this in common. And then
so bad. And I think it's funny because at that same party, Ellie's mom is there too.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
She's just like all about herself and just off to make out with whoever. Like, I'm kind of like, Ellie's mom and Will should have gotten together because they were just perfect for each other. Like, and yet they have these very mature children.
Yeah. Yes.
in a way, like, Ellie's super moody, but like super cute. So
yeah,
that's what sparks it for Will.
Yeah.
Will still has a lot of growth to do. And I don't know if Rachel can handle.
She finds out that, you know, he has to tell her the truth at some point. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of disappointed
that he used this child
as
a prop.
Yes. but she's not going to just totally, I think she's likes Will to a certain amount that yeah. she's not going to just write him off, but she's holding him accountable mm-hmm. and he has to, he likes her enough. He likes her so much that he's willing to rise to the occasion.
Right. He realizes that she's the woman he wants to be with.
Yeah.
And spend his time with and tell the secrets to, you know, yeah. the first time he learns something, he wants to go to her. Because I think that Marcus teaches them like, oh, there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's the sweetest thing ever. So he wants that.
Yeah.
But Rachel may not want to raise a man child.
Yes.
And so that's like, I don't know. Do we want to give away how things play out?
I think we could kind of say that there is a moment that things mm-hmm. change for everyone. Yeah. And Marcus has to go on a train to see his dad.
Oh, that's right.
Because his dad falls off a ladder or something. Yeah.
Falls off a ladder, breaks his collarbone, and he has this like...
Oh, collarbone. Yeah.
Yeah. He has this moment here. He's like, oh my gosh, I've screwed up in life. I have a child that I've ignored.
Yeah. So I wanted to come to
you. You, child, come to me. And Marcus is like, I don't even know this guy. Like,
I don't really want to go.
I don't want to go. So and he's like, Ellie, will you come with me?
Yeah. And Ellie's like, yeah, I'll come. I'll come with you.
Yeah.
But
she doesn't really know Marcus that well either. She does and she doesn't. Like, they're good friends.
Yeah. But to just hop on a train
and
to
meet
go.
Someone's dad. Yeah. Like, it's a bit much. And I think they even lie to get out of school.
There is, this is the day Kurt Cobain dies too.
Yes.
So Ellie.
It's all over the front news.
Yeah.
And Marcus is doing anything he can to protect her from it.
Yeah. And but she finds out and she is just a mess. Mm-hmm. And that's why she's like, fuck it. I'm going to get on the train and go with you. Mm-hmm. So they hop on this train and I think they get out.
They get out early. Along the way.
Yeah.
Hops off the train.
Oh.
Marcus hops off after her.
Yes.
She's upset. She sees a cutout of Kurt Cobain in a store window.
And assumes that the owner is
trying to make money off of
yeah,
his death.
Yeah. So she takes off her shoe.
She smashes the window in, like, such a teenage thing to do. Like, a badass teenage thing to do.
So the police are called there.
And everyone shows up at the police station.
Yes. So Fiona and Marcus go together.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Will's parent, father, Clive, and his girlfriend.
Oh, wait, Marcus's.
Yeah, dad. Marcus's yeah. dad.
Okay.
And Ellie's mom drives with Will and Fiona.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So they're all go.
They're dealing with these kids. And Will, he's really not needed there because he doesn't have anything to do with this situation. And yet he feels
responsible and he cares. He's mm-hmm. realized he cares.
He cares a lot. Yeah. And he's standing, but he just realizes like, wow, I'm not needed. And yet I want to be.
I think that Will is with Fiona and Will is trying to talk to Fiona about like, she's like suicidal.
Uh-huh.
Is this where they are talking about that? And Will is like, is trying to, you know, tell her how it's affecting Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. they get the call. Is that, I think they are together. I think that's why Will goes with Fiona is because he's kind of talking to her about
this burden that
she
put on him.
Yeah. That maybe she doesn't understand that she has. And so
because she treats Marcus like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like that's why he's a child, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. So this whole drive down and this whole situation where they're at the police station mm-hmm. and, it gives everyone I think it's this shift in everyone's, It's a growth. It's a moment of growth. For Fiona everyone. Grows. Will grows. Marcus grows. Mm-hmm. Ellie grows. You know, it is this interesting thing that happens to all of them and creates an awareness of themselves and allows them to make it choose to grow, which they all do.
Yeah, they all do. And I love, people just need to read it because the way that it ends, that last line and what Marcus, I don't want to give it away.
I don't either. I think that is my favorite line.
That's your favorite line. And we can't share it because it's so good, but it just cements for you the growth of everyone.
Yeah.
And you know that this is supposed to be a romance novel. And it's like you said, it's a romance novel between Marcus and Will, even though they don't have a romantic relationship, but you realize like they finally have the potential for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I loved it.
I want to find, I wrote it down because I just,
the line?
I love the line.
You can't give it. You can't do it. People have to read it. I do know the line.
Because I think it is at the end, but it does.
the very last line of the book is.
Where did I write it down? I do this. Like I write things down in this and then it's like lost.
Oh, it's in there.
I'm just going to say it's like all three of them had to lose things to gain other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Will had to lose his shell, his cool, and his distance, and felt scared and vulnerable. But he got to be with Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And Fiona, I'm not going to give it away. This is my favorite line. And Fiona had lost a big chunk of Marcus, and she got to stay away from the the casualty ward.
There you go.
And Marcus had lost himself and got to walk home with his shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
So without giving it away, what we're saying is that because of this situation where they all end up at the police station, they all grow, but they had to lose something in it, you know, to gain something else.
Yeah. I know it was beautiful. It was one of the better books I think I've ever read.
I think so too.
So
well,
how realistic do you think that these are? Would, we're going to call this a love story between Will and Marcus.
Yeah.
Because in the end, no one ends up in a long-term romantic relationship, but I think they have a lifetime friendship.
Yes, absolutely.
For sure. And Will is always going to be a very important part of Marcus's and Fiona's life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whether or not he ends up with Rachel is beside the point. He at least has the potential to be with Rachel.
Yeah.
So I think they're destined.
Very likely. Yes. I think this is a very likely situation. And I think they are destined to be together for ever.
Forever. Because they just have, they grew so much because of each other and with each other.
Mm-hmm. And they have that that relationship with each other that's, they're such good friends and they've been through something. You know, sometimes I think when humans go through whatever, like a tragedy or a special thing.
Yeah, I can't imagine anything more tragic than the thought of losing the one person in your life that you can count on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is terrifying.
And it's so sad because he keeps saying, I need more than one person in my life because the reality of losing one person means I have no one.
Oh my gosh.
And so in a weird way, he's trying to gather or collect other people in his life. So he doesn't just have one person. And at the end, he's like, oh, I have a lot of people now. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it was pretty cool. It kind of gives me goosebumps.
Yes. The spicy is green pepper. There is no spice in this book, but.
Yeah, absolute green pepper spice level there. There's, I mean, is there even kissing?
No, there are no kissing. Yeah. I mean, there's talk of like, you know,
at the party. Yeah. I mean, there's people are making out, but it's not like it's sexual at all.
No, it's third party. Yeah, look, they're making out over there or whatever.
Yeah, it's nothing. Yep. Yeah, no sexuality at all in this book.
And I love this story. I think it's engaging and we care so much about the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And want them to be happy and
learn to love. And I just think for me, the takeaway from this book was like, you know, when you can only think about yourself, it's hard to love.
Yeah.
You have to look outside of yourself to like experience true, meaningful love.
Yeah.
And I think that they showed that really well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just think that that's one of the most important things that we can all learn is to look outside yourself.
Yes.
Care about someone else. Mm-hmm. And you will find love.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I agree. And I would recommend this book to everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the purpose of teaching my son how to give good cunnilingus. Like in the billionaires club. But, you know, just for like real.
You know, learn how to, like you said, kind of get out of your own life and, you know, be sympathetic or empathetic towards other people. And in doing so, you open yourself up to lots of wonderful relationships.
Yep, exactly. So,
yeah.
A plus.
Well, great. Love that book.
Should we watch the movie?
Yes.
And the TV show.
I know. I do want to watch the movie now.
Yeah. I never saw it. I remember Hugh Grant being in it. And so as I'm reading the book, that I totally picture Hugh Grant the whole time.
Me too. Yes. So. And whoever read the story sounds like him.
Totally. It was so spot on. I loved it. So anyway, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Love doing this. And we need to please.
If you enjoy learning about awesome books, go to our webpage.
Yes. And
you
can subscribe.
Like
write a review.
Write a review. Only if it's good. If it's not, like really dig deep. Yes. And then hopefully like we have a link for you to share your own journey.
Please, we would love to have you share it with us so we can share it with everyone else.
I know. And then I actually think it'd be kind of fun to hear like just goofy, like family love stories. Like I want to hear about family fun.
And it doesn't need to necessarily actually be a love story between a man.
It doesn't have to be romantic,
but I love this type of love story too.
I do
about
too.
Two people who love each other and are committed in like a family way or.
Yeah, totally. I loved this for that reason. So
me too.
Yeah, do that. All right.
All right, everybody.
Love you.
Thank you.
XOXO for Valerie.
Yes.
All right, bye-bye.